Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Comprensión oral. Inglés. Nivel intermedio B2. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Example. Trust is a confident relationship with the unknown. And the reason why I ended up with that definition, which took about 5 years to get to, confidence is really at the heart of trust.
One.
If you know the outcome of something, if there is no risk, you don't actually need trust. So what I was trying to pair it with is something unknown, the uncertainty piece. So it's this idea that we are placing our faith in someone or something or a system where you don't actually know the outcome and how it's going to work. When you think of it like that, it's like this alchemy of fears and hopes and desires. So it's got the high and the low. And that's what trust is made up of. It's this friction between these two things.
Two.
And at this point in time, huge shifts are happening in trust. People are less likely to trust institutions, for instance, than they used to be, but increasingly will trust their peers, but are also trusting people they don't know in real life. Businesses like Airbnb and Uber rely on people trusting strangers on both sides, the customers and the service providers have to trust. And then the likes of TripAdvisor and Amazon that involve feedback from the general public. So on the one hand, you might trust what they have to say more than a business that wants to sell you something, but on the other hand, who are these people? Are they trustworthy?
Three.
How do we deduce who's trusty and who's not trusty and who's not even real?
So a fake review tends to be very descriptive, so very detailed, but detailed around fairly generic things. So like a fake hotel, they won't actually be able, if they've never been there, right? So they'll describe things that you would see in other hotels. Or they will get very detailed about the room. But the details that will be missing is sort of things like orientation and spatial conception and anything that's really about the experience of being there is very different from a real review.
Fourth.
Researchers at Cornell University also found that genuine reviewers use more nouns and punctuation, whereas deceivers use more verbs and long words.
But what they've found is that the language is so predictable in what people are using that artificial intelligence can pick up these fake reviews really better than humans, because there's language patterns, which I actually find reassuring that we now have the technology that they'll be able to weed out fake reviews.
Five.
We tend to be more discerning face-to-face than in digital environments. So digital environments, we tend to look at a few sort of trust signals, a few clues, and then make a decision. And often what we're making the decision around is that person familiar to us? And we base our trust on that. So it can be as simple and as simple. Oh, they went to the same school as me. Oh, they're from the same region as me, the same color of the skin, same age. Like, so the signals, we respond very quickly to signals, which is what makes it quite fragile and even dangerous.
So you could put the same text with different visual cues and get a different response.
Yeah, whereas we tend to be slightly more discerning face to face.
Six.
What about things that aren't actually human?
I have a real issue with, well, the number of machines that are female. I don't know how it hasn't become a bigger topic. How do we accept this, though, that Viv, Cortana, Alexa, Tay, the bots, like the virtual assistant bots, they're all women? I find it awful when you watch young children, particularly, shouting at Alexa. They're shouting at a woman. And the reason why they've done this is they've proven this, that we tend to trust things with a female identity more than a male identity. So there's really interesting work coming out of MIT.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Example.
Trust is a confident relationship with the unknown. And the reason why I ended up with that definition, which took about 5 years to get to, confidence is really at the heart of trust.
One.
If you know the outcome of something, if there is no risk, you don't actually need trust. So what I was trying to pair it with is something unknown, the uncertainty piece. So it's this idea that we are placing our faith in someone or something or a system where you don't actually know the outcome and how it's going to work. When you think of it like that, it's like this alchemy of fears and hopes and desires. So it's got the high and the low, and that's what trust is made up of. It's this friction between these two things.
Two.
And at this point in time, huge shifts are happening in trust. People are less likely to trust institutions, for instance, than they used to be, but increasingly will trust their peers, but are also trusting people they don't know in real life. Businesses like Airbnb and Uber rely on people trusting strangers. On both sides, the customers and the service providers have to trust. And then the likes of TripAdvisor and Amazon that involve feedback from the general public. So on the one hand, you might trust what they have to say more than a business that wants to sell you something. But on the other hand, who are these people? Are they trustworthy?
Three.
How do we deduce who's trusty and who's not trusty and who's not even real?
So a fake review tends to be very descriptive, so very detailed, but detailed around fairly generic things. So like a fake hotel, they won't actually be able, if they've never been there, right? So they'll describe things that you would see in other hotels, or they will get very detailed about the room. But the details that will be missing is sort of things like orientation and spatial conception, and anything that's really about the experience of being there is very different from a real review.
Fourth.
Researchers at Cornell University also found that genuine reviewers use more nouns and punctuation, whereas deceivers use more verbs and long words.
But what they've found is that the language is so predictable in what people are using that artificial intelligence can pick up these fake reviews really better than humans, because there's language patterns, which I actually find reassuring that we now have the technology that they'll be able to weed out fake reviews.
Five.
We tend to be more discerning face-to-face than in digital environments. So digital environments, we tend to look at a few sort of trust signals, a few clues, and then make a decision. And often what we're making the decision around is that person familiar to us? And we base our trust on that. So it can be as simple, oh, they went to the same school as me, oh, they're from the same region as me, the same colour of skin, same age. Like, so the signals, we respond very quickly to signals, which is what makes it quite fragile and even dangerous.
So you could put the same text with different visual cues and get a different response.
Yeah, whereas we tend to be slightly more discerning face to face.
Six.
What about things that aren't actually human?
I have a real issue with, well, the number of machines that are female. I don't know how it hasn't become a bigger topic. How do we accept this, though, that Viv, Cortana, Alexa, Tay, the bots, like the virtual assistant bots, they're all women? I find it awful when you watch young children, particularly, shouting at Alexa. They're shouting at a woman. And the reason why they've done this is they've proven this, that we tend to trust things with a female identity more than a male identity. So there's really interesting work coming out of MIT.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.